Heavenly Father, we pray that as we turn to your word, you would please teach us, instruct us, and encourage us. We pray that we would grow in thanksgiving for the gospel, and that we would learn how to govern our whole lives in a way that serves the gospel and brings honor to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Abby. We're going to spend a few minutes now thinking about those verses. This is our Stewardship Sunday. You'll see what we mean by that, hopefully, by the end of this address. I want to start with a question. What can you do to love all the people of the world? What could you do? What can you do to love all the people of the world? Now, that's a question that all Christians should take seriously, because we are children of the God who loves the world. So what can you do to love the world? There is an answer, whatever age you are. We have a wide range of ages in our service today, from preschool, primary school, secondary school. If you're a young adult, if you're a stay-at-home parent, if you're in employment, if you're retired, what's your answer? What can you do to love the world? God, of course, has an answer to that question too. What can God do to love the world? Well, God's answer is what we've been celebrating all morning in this service so far. The first part of our service, you may not notice this, but the first part of our service always tries to do this, to celebrate God's love for the world. Jesus, fully God and fully man, the eternal word who took on flesh. He was announced as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the love of God. Jesus coming to die for our rebellion, our ignoring, our forgetting of God. So as part of our service, we've owned up to our sins this morning, and we've said thank you to God for his forgiveness and new life. The God who didn't and doesn't need anything, he came to us and he rescued us. And we are thankful, full of thanksgiving. We've been celebrating God's love for the world. So what can God do to love the world? Well, Jesus is his answer. And we meet Jesus, of course, in verse 6 of our passage in Mark 6. And we see that Jesus went around teaching from village to village. It was the overriding pattern of his ministry, because Jesus, God's love for the world, well, Jesus wants people to know of God's love for the world. So he goes from village to village proclaiming his message. He wants the world to know of God's love for the world. And so he seeks to multiply that ministry. He called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. Jesus was going from village to village teaching, and he wanted to multiply it. Now this, I don't know how well you can see that. That, believe it or not, is the famous Welsh vegetable, the leek. Now, we had a leek growing in our garden, which we didn't know about, until we went round the corner and we discovered that it had grown and grown and grown. And this was as tall as me. And here, these are all contain the seeds for future leeks. Leeks are a great vegetable. Everybody should enjoy leeks. And here is an example of something good, a leek, which is multiplying into many, many leeks. That's what Jesus is doing with the good news of God's love. He was going from village to village, But that's not enough. The ministry needs to multiply. And so he sends others, the 12, in the first place. He sends them out as well so that the ministry can multiply. He sends them out with authority over impure spirits. It's important to not to separate these things, the teaching of the truth and the overcoming of the evil and deceit of the devil. They go together in Mark. If you remember in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus is in the synagogue, the crowd remark on his teaching in general and his authority in its teaching, the specific example of which has been his authority in casting out demons. The gospel, when it's taught, overcomes evil. Truth overcomes lies. Life overcomes death. And turning to God in repentance is being set free from everything that is evil. So, of course, we want, and Jesus wanted, this teaching to multiply. To multiply both in discipleship, the maturing of Christians, but also in the talking to people who don't yet know this good news at all. That's what's happening here. It's the very first generation of Jesus's preaching. Talking to insiders and outsiders, if you like, just a multiplication of gospel teaching. And that's why we're actually here today. Because from Jesus, it went to these 12. And then from these 12, it went to the early church. You can read about it in Acts. And Paul got on his boat and went on his journeys. And down the centuries, through every generation, this gospel ministry has been multiplying. And it has even come to this corner of Shropshire, to us. Down the centuries, starting here, to the 12, to others, to others, to others, to us, and of course then to others from us. So if you think about our life at Holy Trinity, it's why we sent Steve, the last curate, with those people whom we love dearly as Christian brothers and sisters. It's why we sent them to Salatin and Gaboan. It's why we have mission partners around the world who we seek to support so that they can devote themselves to multiplying gospel work. It's why we have ministry trainees. I believe that Mikey is in the building. He's been working with Steve mostly, but he's in our building this morning. It's why we have ministry trainees. So they can devote the whole of their time to this ministry for a while, to see if that's something that they might want to do for the rest of their lives. It's why we pay staff. There's no qualitative difference between the staff and every other Christian. It's just that we're freed up to devote our whole time to Christian ministry. It involves all of us, doesn't it? This multiplication of gospel ministry. That's what growing and sowing has been about. To do as much of that as we can, both growing one another and sowing in new places. It's a job that needs to be done now, what Jesus started back then. It's why we're trying to use online possibilities, a Christianity Explored course online coming up. It's why we have a building, because that really helps us to do this kind of work long term. And it's a place that it can be done in the future. Jesus wants the world to know of God's love for the world. And so he multiplies ministry. And it's something we do because we want to love the world too. What can you do to love all the people of the world? Well, here's something that we do. Multiplying at gospel ministry. Here are two water bottles. And gospel work is a bit like this. So these are both the same. It's not a magic trick, don't worry. There are two ways of getting water out of this bottle. You can drink this way. There was a bit in there. Sorry, practicing earlier. You can drink this way, or you can open the top and you can drink this way. It's the same for both of these. Now, I wonder if you can get water in these bottles the same ways. Well, clearly, if you have the lid off, which is a way you can drink, but also that you can fill it up, you can put water in it that way. Excellent. But what if it's just the top that's open? Can you get water in it that way? Does that work? Don't worry, I've prepared for this. I know I'm in the lounge. Jill's wondering what's happening because it's all going on the floor. Nothing in this bottle. There is nothing in this bottle. It's all just not gone in. Now, believe it or not, that's what gospel ministry is like. When the gospel is preached, sometimes it just falls on bottles that in effect are closed. And it's not accepted and it's not welcomed and it doesn't get in and it's just absent from this bottle. But at other times in gospel ministry, it does get in. And the gospel is held and it's kept and it can be taken and given to others. So what Jesus teaches us in verses 8 to 11 is exactly that. That it's those people who are thankful for the gospel, who welcome the gospel, who when they hear the gospel, they say that's good, and they want to keep the gospel. It's those people who support the work of the gospel because there's a gospel to be taken to others. There's a gospel to be given, to be passed on. There's a gospel to be multiplied. And so Jesus sets up a scheme in these verses where the gospel cannot survive unless it is supported. A scheme that the gospel cannot survive unless it is supported. Now, if you're in, I'm not sure quite where the sheets have got to this week, but you might have two sheets in front of you with a picture of take and don't take, if you're one of the younger ones. And you can look at all the things on the sheets and decide, well, what did Jesus say to take when he sent out the 12? And what did he say not to take? So here's Jesus's scheme. These were his instructions, verse 8. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So the principle at work here is that people who welcome the gospel will support the gospel workers. They'll support the gospel. They'll provide for it. They'll make sure that they can keep it. So whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. That house has to provide everything for these 12 disciples, or the two that they are hosting, because they brought nothing with them. So people who welcome the gospel support the gospel, and therefore they keep the gospel, and therefore they have a gospel which they can still share. But people who don't welcome the gospel, well, they won't support the gospel. And so they lose the gospel. Verse 11, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, from one perspective, this you could argue this is why the Church of England is in the face of such massive financial challenge at the moment, the Church of England nationally. Well, of course, because England does not love the gospel, it would seem. And so it doesn't pay for it to be absolutely everywhere in rich abundance. And so you could argue that England is losing the gospel. But from another perspective, there are local gatherings of God's people who do welcome the gospel. So much so that they do not want to lose the gospel. And so they pay for the gospel, they provide for it, they support what is needed. And it's not just that they don't want to lose the gospel, they want it to spread further and multiply so that it gets to more people more easily. Now, in a few moments, we're going to sing after this. I've got a little bit more to say. We're going to sing after that. And then Alistair's going to give us the stewardship presentation for this year. The evidence is plain in the statistics, I think, that this is the kind of local gathering that we are. We're proving ourselves to be a people who do love the gospel, who are thankful for it, who welcome it, and therefore we want to make sure that we keep it so that we're able to multiply it. We know that how important the truths of the gospel are for us and how good they are for others. We know what God has done to love the world in Jesus. And we can love the world by helping others to know what God has done to love the world in Jesus. Well, what's the result of, if you like, well-funded, well-provided for, well-supported gospel ministry? Well, verses 12 and 13, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. They go out and teach repentance, turn back to God, and evil is overcome in all its forms. Truth replaces the lies, life replaces death. The God who is turned to in repentance means that freedom from all evil is granted. What Jesus had started in his ministry is multiplied and continued in the ministry of the 12, and it's multiplied and continued in us and from us in the same way. I was mulling over the last 12 months, and it strikes me that perhaps it's been much more obvious that this is precisely the kind of deliverance that the world needs. But it's not been more acute than in any other year. It's not been more needed in any other year. But with all the discomforts of last year, and this, and at the moment, it is more obvious probably than it has been for a long time in the Western world that the world needs to hear this call to repentance so that all that is wrong might be overcome, that in the end the new heavens and the new earth will come where there is none of this suffering or pain or death anymore. So, dropped it again. So what can you do to keep loving all the people of the world? Four different teas, I suppose you might brew them if they're different kinds of tea. But what I mean is there are four things beginning with the letter T for us to steward, to show that we're people who have welcomed the gospel. So we definitely don't want to lose the gospel. We want to provide for it so that the good news might be ours and be for the world. Four T's. Firstly, talents. How can you steward your talents? How can you brew your talents to support the multiplying of the gospel. So we don't lose it in the town of Oswestry, the gospel for which we are so thankful. What could you do? What have you been chomping at the bit at to get on with as part of church life or in your own life? That would use your talents to support and multiply gospel ministry. It might be a job at church. You just think, oh, somebody needs to do that job. Well, perhaps you could do it. You can email me suggestions of things how you might want to use your talents for the growing and sowing of the gospel. Talents. Second T, time. How can you steward your time? Everything that we choose to do costs us time. It turns out we all have exactly the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day. How will we steward our time to show our love for the world by supporting the gospel? That can take all kinds of shapes and sizes. It may mean doing less of some other things, in order to free up some time to encourage Christians or just be involved with, deliberately involved with some people who don't know Jesus yet. It could mean for some doing more work, because that then opens up the possibility of the third T, of more treasure. So we could steward our time to create more treasure, and then we can use that treasure to support and steward support the work of the gospel. Whilst we all have the same amount of time, we don't all have the same amount of treasure. So how will you steward what you do have so that we don't lose the gospel, so that we can pass on and multiply the gospel? Talents, time, treasure. And we're also stewards of the truth. Paul describes the church in 1 Timothy as the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Now, the pillar and bulwarks, they're the things that hold up the building. The church is the place where the truth is held up. Or if you like, we uphold the truth. Where are people going to find the truth in the world if we don't steward the truth? As God's people, the people who know it and are thankful for it. How can we steward the truth? Andy was pointing us to this. He was using different language. But how do we steward the truth in our families? How can we steward the truth in our friendships and in our relationships at work and elsewhere? All of these things, stewarding our talents, our time, our treasure, stewarding the truth, they're all shaped by the same love and compassion which God has shown to his world. So what can we do to love the world? I'm going to sing a very short song. They sing it through twice, but it's only four lines, and we sing it twice. It's a reminder of the gospel for which we're so thankful. And it's people like us who welcome the gospel. We're the ones who will steward our talents, time, treasure, and the truth itself in order to keep the gospel so that we can multiply the gospel. That's how we can all express love for the world. So let's pray together, and then we'll sing. And after that song, so you don't have to come back to me, Alistair's going to give us the stewardship presentation. And you'll see how we've expressed our love for the world in supporting the gospel. And then after that, Ian is going to lead us in our prayers this morning. And then after that, James is going to come and give us a notice. And then finally, it'll be back to me. So let's pray together. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for your love towards us, that your Son came from heaven for us, to become a man, to live amongst us, to die and rise again, and now to reign. Father, your salvation is great. And we are thankful that you have shown mercy to people like us who weren't even interested in loving you, but you loved us first. And Father, we thank you that you have brought the gospel down the centuries, that your people have provided for it, so that it has come to us. And we pray that in our generation, Heavenly Father, we would so love the gospel that we wouldn't just be thankful for us, but that we would support it, that we would use the talents and time and treasure that you've given us, that we would use those so that the gospel might stay in this town and that the gospel might multiply in this town and all over the world. So help us to steward things aright, Heavenly Father, for the glory of your name. Amen.